This Two Lectures episode features managing director at British supermarket chain Iceland, Richard Walker, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2019.
Thank you. It was an extraordinary piece of corporate activism. As you saw, a million people signed a petition to get the ad unbanned. And despite the fact that it was banned and never officially released, in the end, it became the most watched Christmas ad of all time. It was watched by 80 million people. And it really did help to raise awareness on palm oil. Before our campaign and afterwards, Google searches of the phrase palm oil had increased 10,000%. And it helped push the Malaysian government and Wilmar, who are the biggest palm oil producer in the world, to new policies around zero deforestation. And to be honest, I have absolutely no idea how it happened. It wasn't some well-preconceived PR plan. It was a genuine case of serendipity. But I'm going to talk more about that later. We're also taking the fight to plastics. And last year, I announced that Iceland are going to become the first supermarket anywhere in the world to fully eliminate plastic packaging from our own label products by 2023. And a bit like palm oil, it's an emotional roller coaster. There's hard choices at every turn, it's hard work, and it's also impossible. But I don't care, because I passionately believe that business needs to do absolutely everything it can to face into the environmental challenges that we have today. Iceland was a business that was set up by my mum and dad, actually, 49 years ago. And today we employ 25,000 people. We've got about 5 million customers a week that come into our 1,000 shops, and we turn over just over £3 billion a year, which is a lot. The biggest business in Wales and one of the biggest private businesses in the UK. But actually, in the context, as Andy said, of the grocery sector, we're small. We're about 2.5%. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about any of that today. Boring. If you don't mind, I'd like to use the next 17 and a half minutes as group therapy, if that's okay with you. We'll talk about a couple of things. I want to first talk to you about my inspiration, why I do the things I do and where it comes from. Secondly, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my vulnerability. As with anyone on the planet, what you see on the outside is not necessarily what goes on the inside. I'm going to be honest with you. Honest. Promise. I'm going to tell you about some of the struggles that we've had to face into as well, both personally but as a corporate, in trying to take on some of the biggest lobbies in the world. Finally, I'm going to tell you what I dream about at night. So first up, I love to travel. I think travel is so important because that's where I get inspiration. And inspiration can come from the most unlikely places. You know, whether you're meeting a Dayak tribesman in the jungles of Borneo, or indeed a customer in our stores. If you're humble enough to listen, you can learn amazing things and really gain proper insights. And I love to see places as well. I'm a very keen surfer, and I could see the problem of plastic pollution getting worse and worse all around the world on any beach or in any ocean that I surfed. And I knew that as a supermarket, we're a leading cause of the problem. And I wanted to stand up, recognize our responsibility, and do something about it. And this picture for me sums it all up. 2 years ago, I went on an expedition to southern Kyrgyzstan to climb some unclimbed mountains. And we climbed about 11 in total. This was the highest one. And the same height as Mont Blanc, 4,802 meters. And I was the first person ever to stand on top. And as a result, you get to name it. Now, my mum, who I said started the business with my dad 49 years ago, unfortunately has got late-stage Alzheimer's, and she hasn't seen a lot of the successes that have come our way recently. So in her honour, I named the mountain Peak Rhiannon, which is great, because now on maps, there's a really random Welsh name that's starting to appear, which is totally awesome. Next up, vulnerability. I said I love to travel, therefore I'm a hypocrite. I think we all are subject to contradictions, right? Travelling is important because it opens your eyes. But there are definite contradictions as to how I live my life. I read the other day that a transatlantic flight per passenger emits about 1 ton of carbon. And that's enough to make 3 square meters of summer Arctic ice disappear. That's the cost of what it takes to experience the world. And I struggle with that. We sat down as a family recently and created a family sustainability plan, looking at what we do and how we do it and how we can minimize our footprint on the planet, because I think it's so important to actually walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So if you haven't done it, do that. And also, there are, of course, contradictions in Iceland. It may surprise you to hear me say this, but Iceland is not a sustainable business. You know, we're subject to the same contradictions as any mass market, high volume retailer that is in business to make a profit. And we constantly tread that line between purpose and profit. I also guess, personally, I suffer a bit from imposter syndrome as well, because it's no coincidence, I think, that my mum and dad started the business. So whether I'm leading a board meeting or indeed meeting with the Prime Minister, which I'm doing next week, I always think, should I really be here? Have I earned it? And do I have a right? And I guess there is no answer to that, but you just got to work as hard as you possibly can. Okay, next up. I'd rather be honest than impressive. That's a lie. if I'm honest. So, everything we do is from a position of integrity. It's so important because unless there is genuine integrity, it wouldn't work. And that's true. But of course, I've got a massive ego. And I'm as competitive as anyone. And I love being disruptive and creating havoc and pissing people off. It's great. And also as a business, it's very important to us because it's part of our USP. We're only 2% of the market. We can't change anything through our buying volumes, but we can be disruptive. We can create havoc and change the conversation, like we did with GM Foods, first retailer in the world to ban it in the early noughties, and of course, palm oil and plastics. But we've had our fair share of struggles along the way. And some of them have been very expected, and some of them, of course, have been very unexpected. When we took on the palm oil lobby, I was warned that they'll kick back, and indeed they did. And I was subject to a smear campaign on social media, which actually the Times did an investigation and discovered that it was funded by the Malaysian government. I think what surprised me more, though, is some of the struggles that we faced through the UK media. When some of these big lobby groups wanted to personally target me, they took out attack ads in the newspapers with my big mug on the front. And I was surprised that the UK media were taking money from some of these groups. But I was also surprised at how uncomfortable it was for some of our biggest institutions to learn that Iceland were leading the way. You know, it's more comfortable for some people to know that Waitrose are leading the way, because that's how it should be. But if Iceland are leading the way and taking positive environmental action, that doesn't always sit well with people. And business is a key constituent towards solving the environmental crisis. And therefore, we need to applaud and encourage anyone who is taking positive environmental action. But unfortunately, I still think we have a system of good old British cynicism and journalism, which sometimes, not all the time, can look for the jeopardy and look to try and trip people up along the way. There is, of course, business risk as well. Big business risk. When you've got the Malaysian and Indonesian governments teaming together, writing to the Foreign Office to ask them to get Iceland to shut up. And obviously, I worry, you know, about the risk that puts on our business and, of course, the cost in doing things like taking out palm oil and taking out plastics. But it's important because we believe in it. But, of course, added to that, there is a personal risk as well. And, you know, you do, of course, it's inevitable, think about the risks to me and, of course, my family when you start to take on some of the big lobbies and piss people off. And also within Iceland, you know, people naturally assume that we're some lovely unified company that is working in lockstep with each other. But of course, that's not the case. You know, we're subject to all the same internal struggles as anyone else. And I have big rows with our finance team about some of the things we're doing. I also have big rows with some of our marketing team. Is it really important to be raising public awareness campaigns like this. That banned ad did nothing for sales. But as one of Iceland's shareholders, I don't care, because it gave us a great authority and platform to talk about some of these issues, and it's important to do so. And I guess personally as well, you know, sometimes I struggle with what we're doing and how much I'm pushing the envelope, because at the end of the day, we're predominantly a frozen food business. We're not Patagonia. And how can we chime with what our customers really care about versus what we're doing? But I passionately believe that if we're going to have any chance of solving the environmental crisis, we need to democratize environmentalism. It's a very middle-class thing, environmentalism. Even Greenpeace would call some of our customers the hard-to-reach. And if we're truly going to change things, we need to do it at scale. And that means that everyone has to play a part. And there are many people and many demographics in this country that are being cut out or left out of the environmental debate, but they care just as much about environmentalism as a Waitrose customer. They just can't necessarily afford to pay more for it. And therefore, there's no point having a business model where you charge more for your sustainable products. That's not sustainability. True sustainability comes from democratizing it and making it available to all. It's a great Attenborough quote, that. And let me tell you about what I dream about. I guess, another thing that Attenborough said is that we've got about 10 years, which will determine the next thousands of years for our future generations. And we all need to think very carefully about that when we put our kids and grandkids to bed at night. So what do I want to see in 10 years' time? Well, I want to see a government that is properly facing into and taking action on some of these big challenges. I want to see things taxed that we don't want, like pollution. And I want to see things not taxed that we do want, like employment. I want business to operate in an environment where they fully disclose the true cost of capital of some of the activities that they take. And by that, I mean passing on the cost of capital to society as well, because there is a consequence more than just the short-term balance sheet of a lot of industries. And when you consider that the average shareholding on the London Stock Exchange is a mere 22 seconds, our business system is broken in terms of the type of capital that we employ because it's short-term in nature. And of course, we need to be thinking longer-term to really face into some of these key decisions. And what do I dream about? Well, I've clearly put a lot of expectation on myself through some of the things that I do. And I feel that expectation quite keenly. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I live up to it. I want to make my dad proud. He's certainly happy in his own Yorkshire way, would never fully admit it. But I love the fact he turned down Question Time. That was the reason I went on it. You know, I want to make sure that I live up to his expectations as well. But of course, most importantly, I want to live up to my own expectations that I put upon myself, because I truly believe that I've been so lucky to come into a business like Iceland, and I want to use it as a platform to drive issues that I care about and, of course, that I think my customers care about too. And lastly, I just thought I'd give a bit of take-home value as well. I should have said do. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to do a 10-point sustainability plan because I don't know anything about your lives or your businesses. But there are certain things and certain themes that I think is so important to how we think and how we run our business. The first one is to do creative. And by that, I mean look at things from the other way around. Food waste is a growing issue and certainly something that we'll be looking at a lot more over the coming weeks. But there's no point a celebrity chef telling us how to make pesto with disused carrot tops. The real insights and the real learnings come from some of my customers, for example, some of whom might only have £25 a week to spend on food, but they are experts in providing value for money for their families on a limited budget, and they are not wasting any food. So by doing creative and looking at things from the alternative angle, you can really get some proper insights. The second one, of course, is to do brave. And if you care passionately enough about anything, I would say it's your absolute duty to stand up, recognise your responsibility, and speak loud and clear about it. But remember, if you do stick your head above the parapet, you're going to get shot. It's just part of the process. And lastly, and most importantly, do kindness. If people are kind to each other, extraordinary things can happen. And I don't know whether it's serendipity, I don't know whether it's just good luck, but if more of us are kind to each other, I passionately believe that we can change the world. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.